Hi, I'm Dave O'Neill.
I'm Kitty Flanagan, and we're from the Sweet and Salty Roundabout, also known as
The Junkies. So please tune in. If you're listening to Ingridopedia with Ben and Emily, you'll probably like our show.
Yeah.
We do. We talk about lollies, chips, chocolate.
Yeah. They probably talk about better food than we do. They've a better got some, class of food.
They've got some great episodes here. I've just been having a bit of a listen. Very good. In fact, I'm going to steal some of the ideas. Anyway, whatever.
If you need a sugary break, switch over to The Junkies.
The Junkies, where you find all your podcasts.
So do you make a wish on Wish Chips?
What are you talking about?
You don't know what a Wish Chip
is. I've never heard of a Wish Chip. What is a Wish Chip?
It's when you get a chip that's like folded over itself, like it folded in half. So it's like extra thick, you know?
And right. It's got like, so it's folded and that's a Wish Chip.
Yeah, and you can make a wish when you eat one. Did you go to school? I guess not in the same period. Maybe it was like
how
a 90s
How did this turn
thing.
Into ageism? Okay, well, I guess I'll wish I was younger. Hi, you're listening to Ingridopedia, Australia's crunchiest food podcast. I'm Ben Birchall and I'm joined, as ever, by Emily Naismith. Hello, Em.
Hello, Ben. This is the third week of our deep fried deep dive. We're getting into potato chips today.
Let's open the packet and rustle it up.
Let's do it. Ben, I've got a controversial opinion. I think we might actually disagree on something.
Ooh, okay.
I think Pringles are massively overrated.
Oh.
Like, I would go as far to say that they are shit.
Wow.
I just actively don't like Pringles.
Okay. Not even a time or a place for them. There's not.
No.
There's no use case for Pringles.
No.
So that's where I disagree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because sour cream and onion Pringles on a plane are God tier chip.
Well, yeah, thinking back to our MSG episode, they do have like the holy trinity of MSG things to supercharge the taste. But still, I'm just not about it. And I know that I'm, you know, the odd one out because they're available in 80 countries around the world. They're super popular. In Europe alone, Pringles has 34 active flavors in 7 can sizes.
What?
One of which is called David. I just like the can size.
The can size
David.
Is called David.
Yeah, I don't know why, and I don't think anyone knows why.
Is there a Goliath to go with it?
I don't think so. I think it's just David.
Just David. Dave.
But here are the reasons why I don't like Pringles, basically.
Okay. All right.
Okay, the texture is bad. It's like perforated cardboard, and it almost feels wet. It's almost soggy, even though you just got it out of the tin.
Mm.
It's a very boring eating experience. Like every chip is the same. There's no Wish Chips in Pringles.
Yeah, this is true.
There's no like extra seasoning. There's no like, you know.
Yeah, there's no idiosyncrasy.
No.
It's very, very uniform.
Mm-hmm. The tube. Why? My hands are too big for the tube. It's illogical.
You tilt
it's dumb.
The tube.
Nah.
Don't put
nah.
your hand in the tube. Nah. You tilt the tube.
Nah.
It's stopped. Okay.
Flavors aren't good.
Oh.
Never had a Pringles flavor that I could not easily stop eating. But I have some here.
Oh.
And I have learnt that perhaps I've just been eating them wrong.
Yeah. You have, because you tilt the tube.
Okay, it's not about the tube. We're not eating the tube.
All right.
But apparently, according to a Pringles taste tester, there is a proper way to eat them.
Oh, okay.
And there is a proper way to eat a chip. We ask that you put it on your tongue like a saddle. Just saddle your tongue with that chip. The primary reason for that is because we want you to eat the chip with the salted side up. We ask that folks pay particular attention to the crunchiness of the chip. Completely chew the chip up.
So there's a salty
side
on Pringles?
Apparently it's only salted on one side.
Well, that seems like a miss. Okay.
So I'll saddle my tongue with
saddle
the chip.
Saddle your tongue with the chip. Yep, okay. I mean, that's a pretty good eating experience to me.
No.
Okay.
Okay, they're better than I expected, but they're still not great. I wouldn't pay money for them, even though I just paid money for them.
Oh, man.
I wouldn't choose to.
I just wish I was on a plane right now. I'm really.
So I looked into what are they actually made from? Pringles aren't perfectly cut pieces of potato. In fact, they're only made from 42% potato products.
Yeah,
they're actually a slurry of potato flakes made from dried potato. Other ingredients, wheat starch, corn and rice flour, and vegetable oil. So let's just recap. Potato flakes, wheat, corn, rice. I'm sorry, but does that not sound like a cereal? And Pringles is owned by Kellogg's, the godfather of cereal.
Oh, my God.
So is it just me, or has nothing made more sense in my life than crushing up Pringles and eating them like cereal?
Okay. Have you got some milk?
Yes. Let's do it. Oh, we're going to have Pringles cereal.
Okay. Here we go.
So we've got some Pringles.
Yeah.
I'll crush them up.
Okay.
Into a kind of cornflake size.
Yeah.
I've got some milk.
Oh. Just letting the listeners behind the curtain, it's a very hot day in Melbourne, Australia, where we're recording today.
So this is going to be refreshing, I feel.
Okay.
It's not bad. It's not bad. Okay. Try it.
Okay.
At least it's like purposefully soggy now. It's not just like that soggy, wet cardboard experience.
Milk and onion? Okay.
I don't write the rules. I just break them.
All right, here we go. Let's get some
onion milk.
Potatoey onion milk.
They're like savory cornflakes.
Okay, it's weirdly not bad. It's weirdly not bad. I don't know why it works. I think it's just because it's got so much goddamn MSG.
Yeah. What the hell?
Yeah, you don't want to let those things get soggy.
No, I think let's try it the more soggier side. No, they're still good. I'm sorry, but
okay.
Yeah, I think we're onto something
cereal.
There.
Yeah. Okay. let's check back in a couple of months, see if this has taken off.
Yeah.
Emily, you're under 40.
Yeah.
I think we've established on the podcast I'm not. If I say chippies in this voice, does it mean anything to you?
No.
So
except for like terrifying me, but yeah go on.
Have you heard of a little character called the Gobble Doc?
No.
Okay. Well, from 1987 to 1994, the Gobble Doc was the spokes alien for Smith's crisps.
Okay.
He came from the planet Doc, which was a potato planet, I believe. Right. Over the series of advertisements, his backstory was revealed. His function was to covet, to steal, and to devour Smith's chips. Okay, so I'll give you a little sample of this is actually the first Gobble Doc ad.
This is a Gobble Doc. He comes from Doc, the potato planet, and lives solely on fresh potato crisps. Crisps with real potato taste. Be warned. Gobble Docs love Smith's, especially the new packs with a special seal of freshness that keeps Smith's even fresher and tastier.
Ah, chippies.
From now on, best lock up your Smith's. In case of Gobble Docs.
So that's kind of creepy.
Yeah, that's
kind of Star Wars adjacent.
Well, yeah, it is. It is creepy. He was kind of clearly modeled at least a little on Alf, which was a hit TV show at the time. He was short. He was auburn-haired. he was a puppet designed by future Weta character designer Warren Beaton. So Weta's the New Zealand kind of creature shop that did all the Lord of the Rings films, working with Peter Jackson. So it was, you know, Lord of the Rings level. character design, maybe.
That's advertising.
He was, frankly, more than a little creepy, which actually might have been part of his appeal. But disturbing as he may have been, the catchphrase of chippies became part of the vernacular. Now, Emily, I've done a journalism this week.
Oh, God.
And I tracked down the man who gave the voice to the Gobble Doc.
Oh, wow.
His name's Dave Gibson. And I spoke to him earlier this week.
So he wasn't inside the suit?
He was not. Okay. No. There was somebody. We'll find out who was.
Okay.
Dave, thank you so much for taking the time to chat.
My pleasure.
Very exciting. So I want to take you back to, you know, 1987 or so.
Yeah.
What's the brief? What's it like when a brief lands on your desk to create the character of a chip-obsessed alien?
I just got a call from the agent the day before, right, tomorrow, 10 o'clock, this and that studio. It's for Smith's Chips. It's a submission for a character. Mm. That's all I knew. Mm. And that's all you ever knew. So I got there. The creative, I remember it was George Patz, a guy called John Finkelson. And he showed me a drawing, or it might have been a photograph. They might have designed the character already by then, but the drawing of the Gobbledoc, as it is now, and said, we don't know how he sounds, but we know we just want him to say chippies, 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 and variations of that. So I went into the studio and just started throwing out different voices. My first instinct was to go low and sort of do a chippy, chippy, chippy,
yeah,
which, you know, scared the room. And they said, no, higher. And I sort of played around with something. And I suddenly came up with chippy, chippy, chippy. And I like to say now, everybody in the room froze, including me. And I said, you know, by George, I think he's got it.
Mm. Explain to me the making of process. Were you ever on set, or was it, you know, you did it, you created that voice in the studio and that was that, or was it a bit more collaborative?
Yeah, that's it. You could do it two ways. There's the script and I do the chippy, chippy, chippies. Mm. They shoot the commercial with somebody on set maybe going chippy, chippy, chippy just to get the movements right, because the mouth doesn't really move all that much. It sort of opens and closes in the early days. And then they show me the ad and I dub the chippies in. In the early days, it was a little person in a suit, and the eyes, the ears, and the mouth were controlled by people through wires just out of shot. So this is before CGI or anything like that. So it was quite low tech. It was pretty high tech for the day.
Yeah.
And I actually knew the little person. It was a guy called Stevie George. We actually became mates. So that's how it was done.
When was it apparent that this wasn't just a once-off? Like, was it a hit straight away and they asked you back in? Or because, you know, it went for years, didn't it?
Till 94. Mm. My agent called back and said, oh, that's going, because it was just a submission. It was you do it for less money. So it's going to air. It's been approved. I said, oh, good. And, you know, that's a bit more money. And forgot about it. And honestly, and I think I might have seen it a few times. And then within months, I'd be walking down the street and I would hear people going, chippy, chippy, chippy. It was like, really? And then it got crazy, especially parents with children. Children were really into it.
Mm.
It became iconic.
Well, Dave Gibson, voice of the Gobbledoc, thank you so much for joining us on Ingridopedia. It's been fascinating to catch up with an icon of Australian television.
Thank you very much.
So that's Dave Gibson, the voice of the Gobbledoc. He did it for 7 years. The ads got increasingly like high production value and then a bit 90s. Like at one point I think the Gobbledoc is like dancing and there's some rapping involved, as you can expect from 1994. It was retired but then brought back again a couple of times. The last time it was brought back was for Smith's 90th anniversary, and Dave tells the story of walking into the sound studio and everybody over 40 going, oh my God, you're the voice of the Gobbledoc, and everybody under 40 going, sorry, who are you? And that's played out in this studio too. So Emily, at least you know who the Gobbledoc is.
Yeah, and I appreciate your journalism efforts, Ben.
Anytime.
So I'm trying to think that if there was a scale of best to worst of all the different forms of potato, potato chips would be up near the top, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. What about when compared to mashed potato? What's higher on your potato index?
Don't make me choose. I'd probably go mash over chips.
Really?
I think.
Okay, well, that's great because I kind of disagree. Like, I'd prefer chips over mash, but I'm really glad that you said that because have you ever been in a position where you're craving mashed potato, but there's no potato in the house? But you do have potato chips.
I think I know where this is going.
Yeah. So just like Jesus turned water into wine, I can turn potato chips into mashed potato.
Really? Okay.
But in my opinion, it's kind of like Jesus turning wine into water. But we're turning it into wine for you.
For me. Yeah.
A great magical trick nonetheless. So this is a TikTok hack. So blame them. Specifically blame Sam the cooking guy. So when thinking about chips, what flavor of mashed potato do you want?
Probably like a, maybe like a sour cream and chives or.
That'd
kind of work or, I mean, even just a like plain old super salty, probably not a salt and vinegar. You've made salt and vinegar.
I was going to do salt and vinegar, but then I thought, I was looking at all the chips and I'm like, I want to do something a bit interesting, something really delicious. So I've got mee goreng flavoured potato chips.
Chitato, Indomie, mee goreng, God tier chips. Mm-hmm. So much MSG.
Yeah.
So much MSG.
I went through a huge phase of these last year when I had to have a tablet with 10 grams of fat.
I've never seen
and I just had
a bigger
them in my bag all the time.
On the back of that packet, I've never seen a bigger like provenance. It says made in Indonesia so big on there.
Yeah, true.
It's like they're lining me up.
Well. All right.
Okay. Mee goreng flavoured mashed potatoes.
Yes. So I basically used the whole pack and then put them in a saucepan and then added about 2/3 of a cup of water and just mashed it down with the back of a spoon so that it got all soggy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it after a few minutes and like the water got hotter, it started to just break down into like a sludge.
Yeah.
And then
a slurry,
if you will, a chip slurry. And then I added some milk and some butter.
Okay.
And now it's been a few hours and it doesn't look as good, but it still smells really good.
Cooling and reheating and okay. I don't know.
You don't like it.
I don't know if it's a consistency thing.
It's pretty mashed potato-esque though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is actually. And I imagine when it was like fresh, because it's, you know, even like reheating mash doesn't really work either.
It's probably dried out a bit.
Yeah. So like I've dug right down the bottom and it kind of works. Oh, man.
It's wild.
It's like all of my childhood, you know, the... The sort of white bread Aussie side of me with the mash, the Indomie side.
Yeah. So Indonesian I guess you side. Can compare which form of these chips you like the best.
Oh, chip form. Wait.
I was actually going to sprinkle them on top like Sydney from The Bear when she made that omelette.
Oh, yeah.
Let's try that.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, then you get a
that's
bit,
a good
bit of both.
Texture. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, there you go, everyone. If you want to make mashed potato but you've got no potatoes, just look for a highly, like, way more expensive bag of chips and you'll have some mashed potatoes soon.
Okay, Emily, I want to flip things.
Okay.
What do you do if you're craving chips in the house but you don't have a bag of chips?
Make them, I guess, if you have the energy. I've never done it.
You've never made
potatoes? Go to the shops.
Okay. So you've never made chips before?
Not like potato chips like this, no.
If you were to take a guess at how to make them or if you're going to approach it, what would you use? Would it be like some sort of deep fryer, bucket of oil? You'd probably try
a pot of oil.
You'd try an air fryer, wouldn't you? Because you love your gadgets.
Easier, and I'm scared of deep frying. But if I was going to commit to this, I would you know, heat up some oil and give it a go.
Well, what if I told you that you'd be going about it all wrong? And all you need to make chips is the microwave.
Oh, I wouldn't believe you.
Well.
I would not believe you, my
friend. Even after I made Bowen Goreng in the microwave last year and it was life-changing.
We made those Parmesan chips too. And we made the Parmesan rind.
So why would you doubt the microwave, I ask you? And you know somebody who doesn't doubt the microwave is Chef John at the YouTube channel Food Wishes, where I found this recipe. And so you too can use 1980s technology to make the future of chips. The good news for me is, you know, I'm not always the most prepared for Ingridipedia, Em.
Yeah.
While you've run around the country or you've ordered something in from overseas and you've baked and you've discovered, and I usually just do it the night before. Well, this wasn't the night before, it was the day before. But the good news was, this is what you needed. A plate, tick.
Yeah.
Some baking paper, tick. Olive oil, had that. A pastry brush.
Had, of course you have that.
Yeah, I've got one of everything. A microwave, got one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And what else do you need?
Potatoes.
Well, yeah, I literally just use one potato. A mandolin. He's like, this is what you need. Okay. You need an adjustable vegetable slicer. Sometimes we call them a mandolin.
I have a $120 one.
Have I talked about my Super Ben Rinner before on the podcast? It's that simple. So basically you make a little round of baking paper. You cut some potatoes really thinly on your mandolin. You put them in a bowl of water, rinse off the starchy stuff, put them on a tea towel to dry, pat them dry with some kitchen paper, put them, like arrange them on the plate.
Yep.
Brush them with olive oil, both sides, in the microwave. For me, 3.5 minutes. I think Chef John did a little bit more. Others might do a little bit less. And they come out and they're chips.
Really?
Really?
They look really good.
So.
I mean, they're very yellow.
They are yellow. That's the olive oil.
That's a lot better than I would. Wow, they're so,
so
thin.
So it's also the flavor I've applied, because the best part.
Yeah.
That, like, I mean, I guess if you look at it, they're delicious. Mm. You can kid yourself that they're healthy because you're like, well, it's just potato and olive oil.
Yeah.
You can control the portions if you're the type of person who always smashes a whole packet like I do. But the best part is when you make just a blank slate of potato chip, you can flavor them with whatever you want.
Yeah.
You could use chicken salt, or you could use curry powder, or you could use Chotomoto Japanese curry chicken salt.
I was going to say, I just licked a bit of the flavor off and I'm like, this tastes like something I'm freaking obsessed with. And I just finished my jar of it.
Mm.
It's all gone. I'm so depressed. Already? Yeah, it's been like 3 months.
Okay, fair. All right. yeah. Okay, so there you go. That's the flavor.
So good.
They're actually insanely good.
Oh, my God.
I made the mistake of letting my family try them before I brought them in. And they very, very nearly didn't make it into the episode for taste testing.
And you could easily do wish chips with this, Ben. You just need to like...
You could... Yeah.
Bend them over.
That's right. I don't think I got any wish chips because...
No, but you got a little puffy one, which is cool.
Yep, yep.
You don't get that in a Pringles can.
You don't. And I got to say, like I did these yesterday, I've had them in a, you know, a vacuum-sealed bag, but they were better fresh straight out of the microwave.
Yeah.
But even the next day, they're pretty good. So thank you, Chef John. Thank you, Percy Spencer and Robert N. Hall, inventors of the microwave. And thank you, whoever invented the Super Ben Rinner.
But mainly the microwave.
Mainly those guys.
Ben, would you rather only eat cheese-flavoured potato chips for the rest of your life or only eat fish-flavoured potato chips for the rest of your life?
Oh, which fish are you talking about?
Well, fish in general, seafood, I guess.
I guess I'd go cheese.
Yeah, because apparently the world can be divided into these two halves based on what they prefer. So I'll quote, if you were to simplify how the globe looks through the eyes of a potato crisp, the whole thing is divided down the middle and one side is labelled cheese and the other fish.
Mm.
So I'm quoting from the best article I've ever ever read. No exaggeration. I've sent it to you before. It's a Guardian article by Amelia Tate titled How Do You Reduce a National Dish to a Powder? The Weird Secretive World of Crisp Flavors.
Yeah.
Honestly, it'll take you an hour to read, but it is so freaking good. She goes on to say, the top-selling Walkers in the UK are cheese and onion flavor, while in Vietnam and Thailand, they're crab and seaweed.
Mm.
Basically, fish does not translate onto a snack for most European consumers. Okay, so with that in mind, I want to dive deeper into the world of fishy flavored chips.
Yep.
And I want you to try some that I found in the Chinese part of my Asian grocer.
Sure.
As in yours, not, yours as personally. In my local one. Yeah. My favorite one.
Emily's been branching out. She started an Asian grocery store.
So I want you to have a taste and tell me what kind of seafood think they are.
Oh, all right.
Yep. So I was thinking I might tell the listener what the what they are before you know.
All right, I will block my ears.
Block your ears. No. This one's fried crab.
Wasn't listening.
All right.
I do not know what these are.
Here you go.
I see a chip. Give me a little smell. I'm getting like an overwhelming kind of nori flavor,
mm-hmm.
like a seaweedy vibe. But there wasn't, you know, the performative sort of flecks of dark seaweed on there. But is there seaweed in them?
No, but I mean, seaweed is basically MSG. So, yeah. I mean, chips is.
Okay. Is that cuttlefish?
I mean, I don't know what a cuttlefish is, but no.
It's squid.
Fried crab.
Crab. Okay. No, I didn't get crab.
Okay.
All right. I got that wrong. I've got some cheddar cheese chips here if you want them as a control in between.
Okay. All right. So 0 out of 1. You go to block your ears.
Okay. All right. Blocking again.
Okay. This one's braised prawns with abalone sauce.
King.
Ooh, these are ruffled.
Prawn?
Yes.
Mm.
Prawn and a different kind of seafood sauce.
Prawn and...
It's pretty complex. I'll give it to you. You got prawn. It's braised prawns with abalone sauce.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever even had abalone? I don't think I have.
Yeah, I think I have, yeah. And they're just, like Lay's are just making that?
Hmm.
Okay. I definitely got the prawn. It tasted like a prawn cracker. Didn't get the abalone. So do I get a half point for that?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say you get a point. Okay. That was pretty tricky.
Awesome. Okay.
These are all Lay's, by the way. And now I kind of want to move on from seafood because I saw these flavors and I'm just like, I cannot go past these. So they're also from the Chinese section of the supermarket and they're very, very tricky.
Okay.
Now, I don't expect you to get them because not only would you have to name the animal, you would have to name the specific part of the animal.
Okay. All right.
But I'll see how you go.
Okay. Right. Option three. This is a thin chip. It's got a darker tone to it. I'm getting a beef vibe. Beef rib.
No, that's not even the right
animal. Oh, God. What are they?
Hot and sour lemon braised chicken feet.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's a long way off.
Yeah.
When you say it, I kind of get, I mean, I get the lemon.
Yeah, the lemon's there. All right, last one.
All right. That's an odd flavor. I would not say that they are particularly pleasant. No, I got no idea. Like some sort of curried something.
Hot and spicy braised duck tongue flavor.
Yeah, I was never going to get that one.
No. Hmm.
Not really a fan of those ones. The lemon, the chicken feet were good.
I think out of all of them, I prefer the prawn.
The prawn's good.
The prawn abalone.
Yeah, and you could tell what it was. They were ruffled.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were my...
They were thicker.
The prawn and abalone would be my choice.
Hmm.
So did I get like 1 out of 5 then?
One out of four.
Okay.
Yeah.
One out of four. Okay.
But I mean, it was tricky. Yeah. I feel like I would have got zero out of four. So well done.
Cruel. Cruel. But fair. I know what the listeners are thinking. They're like, hey, this is Ingredipedia. How are exactly are chips an ingredient? You guys are breaking your own rules. Where you run out of ideas. You're 100 episodes in. You're out. Yeah, the well's dry.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have you know that chips can be an ingredient. For one example, I use them to crunch up the top of my tuna casserole sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
I've talked about that maybe in the tuna episode or...
Yeah.
Sometimes I use Weet-Bix, sometimes some chips, instant crunch, genius. You can also use them to, crunch up some chicken wings.
So what chips would you use for this?
Well, on a tuna casserole, or maybe I'd use those prawn and abalone ones. That'd be delicious. Normally just a plain, but if you're doing chicken wings, you might want, like a hot and spicy or, something with a bit of body to it. There's also sweet recipes. I came across one which I almost made, but again, the heat this week made me not really crave a dish that's sometimes known as holiday crack.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
Which is a layer of chips, layer of sweet toffee, layer of chocolate. Which,
There's also choc chip biscuits with potato chips in.
Yeah.
And they are really, really good.
Yeah, and Cadbury did a Smith's collab a few years ago.
Oh, really?
That was a big vibe. So,
That's right. No, I had them. Mm. Yeah.
So, there's sweet recipes that have potato chips in them. But then I came across this recipe on Serious Eats and I just had to make it. One, because there happens to be a sandwich toaster in the studio that we use. Two, because we talked about chip sandwiches in the fish and chip episode 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And three, just because it's a potato chip grilled cheese.
Hmm.
So this is how you do it.
Grilled cheese. Okay.
Yeah. So it's a toasty.
Yeah.
You need the whitest bread possible.
Yes.
You need the orangest cheese possible. You need some butter and you need some chips. And because this is Ingredipedia, I couldn't just use regular chips. I have used cheddar cheese thins.
Cheddar cheese thins.
Yeah.
So what do you mean, like thins chips?
Yes.
Cheddar cheese flavoured.
They're cheddar cheese flavoured thins chips.
Is that in the yellow packet?
Yes.
Okay.
It was a bit of a like a special one. And look.
Oh, so that's like a new thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say because I don't really know them.
Yeah, I think maybe they're like a limited edition
vibe.
Yeah,
okay.
I made it a little while ago. It's cooled down now.
You have very loose. I don't know what happened to this toasty.
It got very flattened and stuck.
The bread is about one ply, yeah, I would say.
It's sort of, it's like a closer to a quesadilla.
Okay.
So the chips have lost
their... I'm not tasting any chips.
Mm, they're in there.
Texture-wise. Do you add the chips for the texture or the taste?
Well... I guess both, but given that this is already cooled down, we've lost all the texture.
Yeah, you need to have a toasty hot.
It's basically very salty cardboard at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not great.
No, it's not. I'll concede.
Yeah.
It's not great.
But the chips you made were really good.
But what I want to figure out is can I just blame my tools? Was it the flattened grilled toaster machine, and perhaps if I did it in a pan.
Oh, get an air fryer, Ben.
I'm not doing it. Don't get an air fryer. I'm not getting an air fryer.
For the person who has every gadget, you're
I don't have room for an air fryer. All right, sorry it didn't work. I'm not getting an air fryer.
You're fired. Sorry.
Okay, what did we talk about?
I made Pringle cereal. Turned chips into mashed potato and also bought some cookie chips flavours in for a little taste test.
And I tracked down the voice of the gobbledoc. I made microwave chips and maybe failed a little bit at a chip grilled cheese.
Mm. You put in effort. I mean...
That's the worst. Don't give me marks for effort. That's the worst.
Well, you can vote for whose facts you found the most interesting... On our Instagram, it's Ingredipedia. Next week, is the last episode of our Deep Fried Deep Dive. It's going to be on donuts, and I'm very, very excited about it.
All right. We'll see you then.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to the cereal half an hour later.
Doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good. Very soggy and no flavour really in the actual chip bits. Maybe it's all seeped into the milk. The milk is quite delicious.